In a world that appears to be filled with negativity and distrust, it's easy to feel helpless and frustrated. Well, how about a change? How about a podcast that brings positivity to your day with stories about everyday people doing good things for people around them? You found it here. This is the Harmony Goal Podcast with Tom Durth, focused on making the world a more harmonious and caring place. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to another episode of the Harmony Goal Podcast. And once again, for those of you who've been around for a while listening in, you know that the whole focus of this particular podcast is to shine the light on organizations and individuals who are making a difference in the world by their unselfish work out there in the community. And today we are absolutely honored to have Melinda Higgs with us. And Melinda is the president and CEO of the Colorado Nonprofit Developmental Center. Melinda, would you please tell us just a little bit about you, your background, and how you got involved in this organization?
Sure. Thanks for having me, Tom. Really happy to be spending the morning with you. I've spent my career in the nonprofit sector. I started actually as a VISTA volunteer, which is sort of like a stateside Peace Corps. And I was placed at a mentoring program here in Denver and did my volunteer stint with them, and then ended up working for them and found my way into the position of executive director of an association of mentoring programs, about 20 programs throughout the state of Colorado. Mm-hmm. We did a lot of work developing those programs, supporting them, doing grants, things like that. From there, I applied for a job, and that job was president of the Colorado Nonprofit Development Center. At that time, there were a group of foundations and community volunteers in Denver trying to figure out how Denver could better support sort of smaller nonprofits who were either getting launched or trying to accelerate their development. And that's what CNDC, that's what we call the Colorado Nonprofit Development Center, does. So I applied for a job, and I was very lucky to get that job. And that was in September of 1999. So I've obviously stayed with it for quite some time.
Well, that's fabulous. That's wonderful. Obviously, you're doing something right. That's great. I love it.
Yeah, thank you.
I love it. So tell me just a little bit about what does CNDC do, and how did it get started?
Sure, of course. So as I said, there was a group of foundations and community leaders working on this. And the reason they began their work on it is that as they looked at cities around the country, they found that often in those cities, there was an entity like CNDC that was providing support to groups who are just getting started, or maybe smaller groups, and partnering with those groups so that they could launch effectively. Mm-hmm. And at the time, a lot of foundations in Denver were doing that work, but it became clear that it would be better to have an organization that was designed for that purpose from the ground up. And so they set about writing a business plan, feasibility study, all those things. As I said, eventually I was hired as the first employee, the first executive, and we were on our way. And the purpose of CNDC is really to work with people who have either an idea for a charitable venture, or maybe they've been doing something as a volunteer effort and need to get it to another level. Or maybe it's been something that's been part of another organization and now they want to be on their own. People can come to us from a variety, through a variety of paths. But the thing that they all have in common is they don't yet have their 501c3 status from the IRS, either because they're brand new or they've been operating under another organization. And then they come to us, we accept them, and I'm happy to talk more about this later. We accept them, and once they're accepted, they're operating under our 501c3. And then we're doing all of their back office, finance, HR, risk management, legal for them. And then they're doing all the stuff they're great at, raising money, running programs, things like that.
That's amazing. Because after having started two different businesses, it is a whole process of stepping way back and recreating the wheel that somebody else has already created.
That's right.
So there is such an incredible need since we started these podcasts. I'm discovering how many organizations are out there helping people. But the thing that amazes me more than anything else is how many people need help. And when you can get these smaller organizations that are probably out there immersed in their communities already with a great idea on how to help somebody, and then speeding up that process to get that help out there by not having them have to create the wheel. So what are some of those, a little bit more detail on, you know, what are the things you help them with as far as, you know, you said legal and HR and that sort of thing. What sort of things do you do for them?
Yeah, I mean, what we always say is we do a lot of the things that most people who run nonprofits and honestly run small businesses as well don't want to do. We're sort of a combination accountant, banker, HR, lawyer. Really to drill into the specifics of it, you know, we do everything from write their checks to prepare their financials, run the payroll. We administer benefits, make sure they're compliant with employment laws, you know, on and on, all the sort of state and federal and local compliance issues, tax issues, we're managing all those. And then we provide some support in areas such as like, how do you manage a board? How do, you know, how are some different ideas for raising money, things like that. So we're really a, we're really in their corner and try to provide support in any way they need. But the back office part is what we do for every one of them. Their capacity building needs or the needs around coaching, consulting can vary. But for all of them, we're doing accounting and HR and legal work.
Wow. And then the HR work, that's something that changes constantly.
Yes.
New rules, new regulations, and that sort of thing. How do you keep up with that and get that information distributed out to them then?
Yeah, well, one of the things that's interesting about our model is you think of us as a like a big co-op in a way. So all these groups, you know, the ones that have employees, those employees are really our employees. They're employed under our EIN, our employee identification number. And so it isn't so much that we're sending them information for their employees. We're sending information for our employees.
Got it.
You know, us as them kind of a model. And we have an HR department. We have an HR manager, Cindy Torres, who's very good. And we also have access to legal support in the HR realm. And so we're in close contact with our partner project leaders when the law changes, when they need to comply with things. Also, when they come to us to hire or when they come to us with a question, we provide support and we go out and get support from either legal or from places like Employers Council or other resources as well.
Wow, that's amazing. What kind of range of organizations do you deal with? I mean, is it food? I've talked to people that are distributing food, people that are taking care of and helping abused women, children in the legal system, that sort of thing. What is the range of people that you help out or organizations?
Our overarching focus is improving the quality of life in Colorado, which is a pretty broad focus. And so we really want to make sure that the groups we're serving and supporting are having some benefit to the quality of life in Colorado. So a group who came to us who was located in Kansas and serving Kansas, that's not our wheelhouse. Beyond that, we have groups under us just doing a whole variety of things, serving youth, providing health support to communities, working on advocacy issues related to public health, on and on. We have an association of park rangers under us. We have a group that is trying to reduce the infant mortality rate in Northeast Denver. We have a family support group. And so it can really, really vary. And that's one of the things that makes this work so much fun and so exciting.
Oh, yeah. It's you learn something new every day, I'll bet.
For sure. Yes, that is
true.
Are these
very much in size for the organizations?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, some of the groups come to us with no resources yet, but I would say more than half of them come to us with either a grant already committed or maybe they've been operating a little bit under another entity. And so they have some money. And so what that means is we have groups that are from zero because they're really in the true startup stage. They haven't really done raised any money yet. Up to, I think our largest group right now is over $1 million. And so it can really vary. And the other thing that can vary is where that money comes from. Mm-hmm. We have government money, foundation money, individuals, special events, corporate money. And so their source of revenue really, really varies as well.
Mm-hmm. I would venture to guess, since this is new for me also, as it is for our listeners, that the legal needs would be variable. How do you maintain the help that they might need legally? Because I would imagine if somebody's helping out an abused child versus distributing food, their legal needs are very different. Do you have a staff or do you have volunteers for that? How do you handle that?
Yeah, that's a great question. There are some areas where the partner projects will have to pay for their own legal advice. So we provide, okay, when it's a nonprofit issue, a tax exempt issue, a corporate issue, we do our best to provide pro bono,
okay,
legal advice there. Mm-hmm. The things that tend to come up though are, as you pointed out, really can vary. You could have intellectual property issues if you have a partner that wants to trademark their name. You could have issues that come up around, safety and security of vulnerable populations. You know, a camp for youth, for example, then you need legal waivers. You need photo waivers, all those kind of things in place. And so we rely on some pro bono attorneys. We rely on some other attorneys that we may pay depending on the situation. Mm-hmm. And then some of this, we're not providing, it isn't so much that we're going to a lawyer and providing advice. We're providing guidance based on the legal advice we've already received.
Okay.
So you can imagine that many of the questions that come to us are the same questions that have come to us in the past. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in that case, then we're providing the guidance we've already received. We're not going out for every question and getting new legal advice.
Yeah.
And that, again, it really speaks to the efficiency of this model and how much power there is in this, you know, as I think of it, like this shared sort of back office co-op, if you will. Mm-hmm.
That is amazing because, like I say, when you get started putting an organization together, it's a pretty overwhelming, daunting process to go through. And
yes, it is. It can be. I'm sorry to interrupt, Tom.
No, I say when I get somebody like you holding my hand, I feel a lot better.
Yeah, it's getting, you know, just like running a small business, it's getting more and more challenging. I mean, there's mm-hmm. more sort of hurdles and things you need to comply with than there were even when we started over 20 years ago. It's gotten more and more challenging.
Right. Well, you mentioned somebody from out of state may not be one of your potential partners there. What sort of criteria do you have? I mean, you probably, you know, get a lot more requests than you can possibly handle. I don't know. Is that true?
Right. Yeah. We get a lot of requests, and we do have some criteria. Mm-hmm. The first criteria is that, you know, again, you know, having an impact on the quality of life in Colorado. So my example about Kansas I gave earlier, you could have someone who is, in Colorado and they're serving Colorado and Kansas and Nebraska and mm-hmm. Tennessee, and that's mm-hmm. fine. There just needs mm-hmm. to be a benefit in Colorado.
Right.
And that's a real strong criteria for us. Another criteria is that there's some sort of adherence or fit with our values. So CNDC's values are respect, equity, partnership, learning, and accountability. Mm-hmm. And so we want to work with folks who those values are important to them as well. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that their organization has to have the same values as us, but it does mean that they're going to be comfortable with those values and are going to be comfortable with them, I guess is the best way to say that. Another thing is that we have to believe that if they were to apply to the IRS for their own 501c3, they would be approved.
Okay.
So there's some activities that aren't approved by the IRS to be 501c3 organizations. And if we think they would fall into that category, then we're not going to approve them. You know, a great example is an organization comes to us and what they want to do is help. I'm making this up, of course, but you know, they want to help their next door neighbor get elected to be a city council member.
Right.
That's not a 501c3 activity.
Okay.
Right? No matter how great the person is, no matter how great the reasons, it's just the IRS wouldn't approve that. And so we're not going to accept that. From there, we also ask them to put together some, you know, we want some sense of their budget. We want some sense of their program plan. We want some sense of who's going to be involved. We look at those things. The program plan we're looking at, especially because we have to insure the activity under our liability insurance. And there's some things that we're unable to insure. You know, no matter how great we might think some sort of high risk outdoor activities are, our insurance on some of those, we're not going to be able to insure them. And so, you know, that it's not going to be, we're not going to be able to do it. If there's someone who wants to take a group of kids from Colorado to climb Mount Everest, we don't carry that kind of insurance. Maybe that would be a great thing to do, but we don't carry that insurance. And so we couldn't accept them. So there's those kind of criteria too. We do our best to accept groups who come to us though. We try not to have it be particular, you know, we try not to have this screening be particularly onerous. We do our best to try to accept them.
Wow. That's beautiful because you do have to have something like that. And so in other words, have people do a little bit of their own homework.
That's right.
Get at least the foundation down. Yeah. Cause you're not going to sit there and help them design their business, but you're going to help them figure out what are all the requirements to run a business.
That's right.
So they can be of service.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, this particular model is called fiscal sponsorship. That's really what we do. Mm-hmm. And it's in that model, it's exactly what you said, Tom, which is, you know, it's a partnership. We do the back office. We bring the C3. We do the compliance. We also have a lot of expertise in running nonprofits, but it's really our partner projects who are experts at what their communities need, their programming, their services, the advocacy that may be needed, the kind of funds they want to raise. And so it's really that partnership that makes this such a great thing for Colorado, I think.
I love it. Because when I hear about all the different organizations that are out there, I'm just always blown away at how many people are doing so many wonderful things. And you're helping in such a way that it's like helping to explode that out there for all these people who truly do need help. Because it's amazing to even watch the news to see how many people are homeless, how many people are on the street, how many people are hungry, how many children go to bed with an empty stomach. And you just go, I can't imagine that. And you're helping in a big, big way by getting more organizations out there doing wonderful things. And you're putting you're putting a lot of smiles on a lot of faces, whether
it's really our, you know, our projects are really doing that work and we're happy to be supporting them. I mean, they're really the ones having the real impact of the community. And, you know, we're really inspired by them every day. It fuels all of us at CNBC to work with them. And they're very positive. They're very committed and passionate about what they're doing. So,
And is everything run specifically by staff or do you have volunteers also?
Most of it is run by staff because most of what we're doing is back office kind of work. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, accounting, HR, things like that, we're having accountants do that, HR professionals do that. One of the great things about this model is a smaller organization may not be able to afford to have or may not be in a position to have like a professional HR staff member or a CPA or someone who's an expert at liability insurance. But with our model, by sort of essentially pooling that administrative cost, we're able to provide that to all of our partner projects. And so that means, though, that we're really trying to provide that at a level that is available when they need it. and is very professional. And so we use mostly paid staff, and then we access volunteers as needed for very specific issues. The legal issue that I mentioned before about using lawyers on occasion, and maybe some other things as well.
Could some of our listeners who maybe have expertise contact you through like your website to let you know that they could help out?
Sure. Our info at cnbc.org email would be the best way to get to us. And they could visit our website, which is cnbc.org. Learn more about us. And there's an inquiry there.
cnbc.org.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, it's wonderful. Well, I'm sure there are people out there because, you know, there's so many people that are just frustrated with what's going on in the world today and wonder what can one person do? And if somebody has an expertise that you could use, that's what they can do.
That'd be great. We'd love to hear from them.
Right. And what about how are you funded? Because my mother and father taught me something. They said, money doesn't grow on trees. And I don't know if anybody else has ever heard that before.
Right.
I know you don't go out and pick up money off a tree. How are you funded to help all these organizations?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we, as I said, this is sort of a co-op kind of the back office kind of a model. That's what fiscal sponsorship ends up being. And what part of what happens is that we assess a fee to the partner projects we work with as money comes in the door. So as they're generating revenue, then we're being paid a fee for our work.
Oh, okay.
And that's it. That's the shared administrative burden that they're making a contribution to that administrative cost, the overhead cost, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that amount is 10% for general revenue and 14% for government originated revenue. And there's some modifications in there, but mm-hmm. most of it is either at 10 or 14%. And that's basically their overhead cost. So it's a very reasonable overhead cost for everything they're getting. And then in addition to that, we generate some additional dollars from foundations and things for some mm-hmm. specific work and for general support as well.
Because you are not only charging them a small fee, but that small fee could be huge if they're doing all their own research and all their own work and all their own development.
That's right.
Those just escalate tremendously. So that fee is really pretty minimal when you're talking about getting an organization started and rolling.
It is. I think it's very reasonable. I mean, of course, when you're starting something, you know, you're pinching pennies, and mm-hmm. we understand that. Mm-hmm. But it's very, I think it's very reasonable. The other thing is that fee covers us doing some things that may or may not occur. So an example is if you have an employee with a work comp claim, we're going to sort of manage that work comp claim. Or mm-hmm. if you have a insurance claim for a program issue or something like that, we're going to manage that insurance claim. We manage all the renewals for benefits and all the renewals for liability insurance. So there's a lot of the stuff going on behind the scenes that's covered in that fee that may not always be obvious, but when you run an organization or run a business, you know how time consuming all that is as well.
Right. That's wonderful. That's incredible. How can, if our listeners are driving their car, out hiking, just sitting home listening to this, how can they help? Is there any way that the average Joe on the street here can help you help those people?
Sure. So, I hope people are listening to this while they're hiking. It's that would be wonderful.
Using Colorado well.
That's right. So the first thing is that fiscal sponsorship, as I said, that's what we do, is not something that's known well. And, you know, so I think if people are coming to them with ideas for nonprofits, you know, suggesting to the people who may be coming to them of thinking about fiscal sponsorship, that may not be CNBC. If it is, great. There's other great fiscal sponsors around the country. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a great option for anyone starting a nonprofit. So first mm-hmm. is just to suggest it as an option. The second thing is that if you go to our website, again, cnbc.org, you'll see a list of our partner projects on that website. And, you know, we would love for anyone to donate to those partner projects. Mm-hmm. You can connect to their website, and they all do such amazing work. And I have no doubt that a list of those is going to someone on that list is going to spark everyone's interest, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right. Child advocate, food advocate, a woman's advocate, or whatever the case may be. Yeah, they're going to be there. That's like even our podcast. We stay on the air because of that.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's how we do that. Well, you do such amazing work out there. I cannot begin to tell you how much I get goosebumps right now just thinking about the ripple effect that CNDC has out there in the world because of how many of these nonprofit organizations that you're touching, helping, growing, making more functional in the world are changing the world. And that's what one person can do. Every single person on your staff, every person that you, whose lives you touch, are making a change in the world. That's amazing. It's fabulous.
Yes, it's, I'll tell you, it is really an honor to work at CNDC. I mean, not only because the people I work with on our team who are just fantastic and so committed, but to all of our partner projects, they're just so, as I said, so inspiring, doing such great work, so committed. So it's really just an honor to be supporting them.
Well, would you have any parting words you would like to have for our listeners today?
Yeah, I mean, my parting words is, for anyone listening, and if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably someone who really cares about your community and cares about what's happening. And, you know, I really would encourage you to, you know, get involved with a nonprofit, donate to a nonprofit, whether that's CNBC, someone else, you know, it doesn't matter, but there are a lot of organizations doing great work in your community and, you know, they need your support. And so that's my parting comment to anyone listening to this podcast is try to support the nonprofits in your community.
Fabulous. Because so many people are just thinking the government should do it all. And yet we're taking care of our fellow human beings. And like I say, putting a smile on someone's face changes the world.
So, right.
Thank you so much for first of all, being here today to share your ideas and your thoughts and what you're doing and the amazing work that your organization is doing. CNDC is fabulous. And I appreciate that. I know our listeners appreciate that. And thank you so much for taking the time to be with us, because I know you are one busy human being out there. So thank you for making a change in the world. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Okay, you take care now. And okay. we'll get our people to come to you and help all your organizations there.
Appreciate all right. Thank you.
Okay. If for the rest of you, please tune in again next week for another episode of the Harmony Goal podcast. And just listen to how many different ways you can help make this a better world for everyone in it. And we appreciate that. And if you'd like to go to our website, which is theharmonygoal.com, you can subscribe. You can let us know how we're doing. You can make a donation, keep us on the air, and so on. So look forward to talking to you again next week. Take care and have a fabulous, fabulous week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Harmony Goal podcast. To learn more ways in which people are creating harmony in the world, simply subscribe to this podcast. See our mission at theharmonygoal.com. And remember, we are all empowered to create more harmony in the world, one smile at a time.